your host, Mike B, and got my man Mike B here. This is the Google News update. What's going on? Today we got a couple topics. We're going to be talking about Google Assistant and how the Google Assistant has now passed 500 million users. And we'll be getting into some new features as well, long form reading and deeper smart home integration. I mean it's pretty deep right now. It integrates with a lot of things already. I don't know if it integrates as much as Alexa, but I'm sure they're working on it. I'm sure Google trying as best as they could to compete with Amazon. It's Google. You know what I mean, it's Google. They're gonna do as much as they can. I mean, the next topics that we got is talk about Google search, Google desktop fave icon search result studies. It's basically talking about the new search with Google. If you haven't seen it already, whenever you do a search on, mostly on mobile, but now they added it on desktop where you do a Google search and it comes up with the fave icon on there. And this article is talking about how a lot of people are still considering those to be ads. You know, you can't really kind of tell. You can kind of tell what's the difference between an ad and a Google search. Now they kind of making it kind of hard to even tell what's the difference anymore.
That's good for advertisers because I know that. Well,
I mean, that's money for the advertisers. I mean, the advertisers is gonna be like, yeah, even them accidental clicks mean something.
Yeah.
And then the last topic that we got is about Google Chrome and how Google is going to start banning cookies for good. Or let me read the article. Actually, Google Chrome's cookie ban is good news for Google and maybe for your privacy. I don't know why I felt like a 5-year-old trying to read that, but essentially, yeah, I just broke it down real quick. I started having to reread my alphabet. But yeah, if you know what cookies are the little thing that tracks you and follows you as you go from web page to web page. That's basically how those advertisements are following you. And apparently Google Chrome is going to start banning cookies, and that's going to be a big issue in the next couple of years. But let's start off with the first topic about how Google Assistant passes 500 million users, and it will get this long form reading and deeper smart home integration coming this year. But basically Google has now, okay, that's like an ad. Let me pause that ad. Google has now basically hit that mark. 500 million people is a lot for just being able to use a Google Assistant, just to be able to say, hey, gee, I'm not going to say the words. In case somebody is actually listening to this live, I don't want to activate one of y'all Google Assistants by accident. Y'all be cursing me out. But now they have basically reached 500 active users or monthly active users, which is, you know, a major deal when it comes to Google Assistants, just because you're talking about adoption. You know, everybody knows about Alexa, and everybody tends to originally consider like Alexa to be the top winner. And I think they still are. I mean, I think a lot of people are still using Alexa heavy, but I think a lot of people are starting to realize the limitations of Alexa. Alexa is good because it does integrate with a lot of third-party services. A lot of different companies are, if you have like something over here, some other product over here, you can use like if this then that, if this then that app is like IFTTT or something like that, where you can actually integrate functionality between Alexa and whatever other third-party service. And then I think they have just like Alexa Actions or something like that. I know they got Google Actions, but they got some variant of Alexa Actions where you can just like click and apply a feature to it. I think you can just tell Alexa. I think I've seen that on like I heard that on like the radio on 92Q or something, where they're like, you tell Alexa to download the 92Q app and then tell Alexa to play 92Q, and then it does it. So it'll automatically tie itself to 92Q's radio station, and then will automatically allow you to start playing it from that point on. But Google is trying to eat that lunch for the most part. And the article goes into one of the main things that have happened in the past week was with the Google, not Google, but CES, the Consumer Electronics Show that happened last week, where a lot of manufacturers of, you know, electronics, of general electronics, like gadgets and whatnot, they've you know, they have their big show in January, and Google had their stage as well, where they were actually talking about their integration with all these different providers, because, you know, everybody's trying to connect Alexa to things. Google wants to eat some of that lunch, so they're trying to point out the fact that, hey, Google also does these things too. I mean, and it's a big push for them. One of the main things that I like about Google Assistant, when Alexa came out, I immediately was like, yeah, I'm not feeling it at all, because I don't have any like connection with Amazon besides purchasing stuff.
Purchasing shit.
I mean, I watch Amazon Prime every once in a while, and like, that's one of my main three streaming services, but like, I don't sit there, and I don't use it as much as I use Netflix, for one. And beyond buying stuff from the overall Amazon site, there's nothing else that I use Amazon for knowingly. You know, they got their whole Amazon Web Services, but I don't necessarily know when I'm interacting with that. That's other companies that may be using it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at this thing with Google Assistant, and some of the, so what puts Google in a great position with this is that they're able to, I think I said in a previous show we just did, man, that they know how to spread themselves out without spreading themselves thin. Mm-hmm. And because Google has access to all different types of systems, and then they've integrated themselves into different facets of people's lives by them hitting this benchmark and then showcasing a lot of what they plan on doing with Google Assistant, it puts them in a place where they are definitely strong competitors against, you know, the likes of Alexa. You already seen Cortana get put into the grave of Microsoft. Yeah. You know, he got buried. So now the Google Assistant is on the up and up, but them being connected to all of these systems, it makes them the forerunner in this type of technology. I see here in the article, it says that later on in this year, they're going to have it where you can say, "Hey Google, read it," or "Hey Google, read this page," and it's able to read the page in 42 different languages. It's going to be able to read, interpret these pages into 42 different languages. So stuff, when you hear stuff like that and you see it, you're like, man, Google's really making the strides they need to make in order to, like I say, it's that tech cold war that's happening. You kind of see it shaping up already within the first month of 2020.
Of 2020, right?
Yeah. You know, so what I see with the, with Google Assistant, as well as them being like they're integrating themselves into, like, with I think they say in here in the article as well that they put in the bid with a lot of different TV manufacturers to have a microphone system that's far reaching, where you'd be able just to talk and say whatever it is you need to say based on the system, and it'll be able to interact. It's just
directly on like, TV, right?
Yeah. So it's they're making good strides with this. And like you were saying, Mike, it's, you know, because Amazon, they've spread themselves out pretty well. It's just that, again, with them being, I still come from that age of when I think Amazon, I think books, because I'm kind of dating myself. Yeah. But this goes to show that they are more so concerned with how to, you know, they sell pretty well. They provide a platform for people to be able to buy and get what they want easily. But as far as them being a great utility for everyone's lives on a day-to-day basis, I don't think they excel at that as much as Google does. So by them hitting this benchmark of 500 daily, that's the thing. It says 500 active users. It's not just saying, you know, 500 million total users. So the number as far as who was actually using the app,
as well as,
right, it fluctuates. But well, it's more than likely higher than that, because you know, the active users, that's a good benchmark. You know, most there's a lot of social media platforms out there, you know, contrary to popular belief, and they typically say anything that is below 100 million users isn't really a hit. So with Google Assistant, you know, being like a utility like this, but then it being actively used like this, it's going to show that their prowess to know how to adjust and implement themselves, you know, and have a solid infrastructure that people can use every day, shows that they really are up on game. And I'm looking forward to seeing what really comes of this, man. Because this is good stuff, man. It got me wanting to use Google Assistant a lot more.
I could definitely see that the more than 500 million, because I mean, it's Google. They have basically, I mean, they run Android, so anybody that has an Android phone has the ability to potentially get Google Assistant on their phone. I mean, it's not limited to Android phone. You can also get it on iOS. If you download the Google Assistant app, or you download just the Google app by itself, it's already automatically on there. And then it's just Google is tied into so many things. If you just have a Google account and then you use all the different apps on that Google account, essentially, they're going to try to integrate the Google Assistant to all those apps. So if you're using Google Maps, you can talk to your assistant in the Maps, talk about where you're trying to go. And then if you're doing like writing a document or something, you can use the Google Assistant to figure out something more about Docs. I don't think they really integrated with Drive too much, with Google Drive heavy yet, but that's coming. That's coming. That's easily coming. But I figure like they're trying to do all the harder tasks first. I mean, to get all the hard stuff out of the way, all the stuff that's obvious, they're trying to just they leaving that for later. But I mean, Android has about 2 billion plus users by itself. They have more. Android has more users than Apple does. It's just they can't sell a one product better than Apple can. Apple can sell the hell out of the iPhone, whereas Android, they kind of just leave it to the manufacturers to sell whatever phones they can sell.
But put it like the average person doesn't know or doesn't think of it like this, but there are several different types of Android phones.
Yeah.
But there's only one type of iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. There's hundreds of Android phones, but there's only one iPhone. And that's part of their marketing pitch of why Apple is as great as it is, but it's also kind of it's a double-edged sword, pros and cons. But in this case, for the assistant, it's like it's bound to take over, and I'm sure it's going to come into antitrust issues and stuff like that. I think they actually mentioned that with even Xbox, like, and that's a weird one because you know, Xbox is Microsoft, and Google Assistant is going to be coming to the Xbox instead of Cortana. Because like you said, Cortana is dead in the water. They killed Cortana.
Right. She got the Vikings funeral. You know, it was a celebratory funeral, but it still was, you know, a farewell.
Yeah, it was definitely 6 feet under. Yeah, I mean, but like the future is definitely looking like it's going to be Google. I figure Amazon is definitely not going to give up the fight. Amazon has been getting into the advertisement business more, which has been eating at Google's lunch when it comes to advertisement. And they got a whole bunch of other things that are just in the line and just waiting. I mean, they got ideas just waiting. So, you know, Amazon is the top runner right now because they were kind of the first with it. They were like 2 years ahead of Google when it came out. But I don't know if that's going to last long. No, I ain't got that last long at all.
Not at all.
I mean, this next topic that we have is talking about the Google Desktop Fave Icon Search Results Study. Subtitle is, with this latest update, Google has made identification of ads less accurate, so people think more results are ads than they're not when they're not. Essentially, this is more of a study than an actual article in itself, but just to go over to iterate. Google has changed their search results. So, you know, they're always changing the algorithm of search, and, you know, most people don't ever notice that stuff, but, whenever there's a visual change, people notice the visual changes immediately. And one of the new visual changes that has happened is that, if you look on your mobile phone, you probably noticed this because this has happened for mobile for at least since September. But for desktop also, whenever you do a search now, the icon of that website will show up on the left side of the ads, I mean, of the search result. And the issue with that is now they're also kind of, essentially the search results look even more like the ads than they used to. They sort of like back with the old advertisements, the way that they did it like last week or so. Whenever you do a search result, you would get like a gray border or background or something that would let you know like this section of the ads, the section of the search results are the advertisements. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can sort of clearly see and denote that these are ads. And you would just scroll past the first three and there mm-hmm. you go, you got your search result. Now all the search results kind of look the same. It's all the same white background. And the same icon location is on all of the ads, on all of the search results every time you look at it. So people on this study that they did, they basically have found out based on 250 users that people can't really tell anymore what the ad, what's the difference between the ad placement and the search result. And I mean, I guess part of that is because, you know, sometimes they don't even show ads. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. So sometimes the first three icon, the first three search results may be blocked out for advertisements, but not all the time. Sometimes you do actually just get your first result as the first result. And now that it all looks the same, it's kind of hard to tell what's the difference. The only difference is that in that section where the fave icon is, where that logo is, you'll see that it says ad in that small little section, but it's so small that you just ignore it. If you're just looking for your search result, you ain't paying attention. So you can't really tell if that's the ad placement or not. By the time you realize it's the ad placement, more than likely you clicked on it already.
You thought of it. It's the second thought. Like, that's what I was saying a little bit before when we jumped into it in the beginning of the show. Like, wow, this is good for advertisers. Is, you know, so you're absolutely right. And I think that's everyone kind of runs into that, right? Like, we know, and like you said, since the last week, yeah, beforehand, when you search for something, you know, you kind of expected that within the first three, maybe even four results will be advertising, right? So you can scroll past that because it's just, you know, no one likes to be sold to, right?
Right, but, exactly.
But now that they have this infrastructure in place where when people search for things, everything looks the same. It's a beauty for it's going to, you know, again, plays into what Google thrives off and what sustains the company is advertising. So now that you have people who are doing these searches and they're starting to click on, you know, advertising, it's good because it makes it more competitive for the advertisers. You know, you have to actually put the stuff out there and know what you're doing, because now it's about not, you know, who positions themselves right as the advertiser within the advertising section, but who positions themselves right just within like AdWords and SEO itself.
Yeah, just SEO.
Two,
yeah.
Right, but then two, you know, it gives, I guess, an opportunity for everyone to who is advertising to come up and make money, because the user doesn't have an incentive to look beyond those results now. You can look at the results and say, okay, well, you know, although, and maybe because we know, we'll still look at it like, okay, this is probably an advertise. You know, like we won't graze past it, but for the average person, they'll just, you know, they'll click on the, they'll click not knowing that it's an advertisement and, you know, be caught in somebody's funnel. So
yeah, I'm just saying it'll allow the marketing teams to come up with more inventive ways to put that ad placement, because most times it's a text placement, it's just text. But like, if it's a relevant search result, if it seemed like it's a relevant search result, if the title, you know, if the title and then the little description of that link seems like it's relevant enough, then yeah, people want to click on it, even if it is just really an ad to get them to like ultimately purchase something or something. People will at least read that, because at minimum, when people are looking at search results, they're at least reading the search result. Yeah, I mean, they'll say this is the best one for me. But you know, when people are adapted to looking at it, you kind of could tell this is the advertisement, so I don't even need to look at these three.
I look at that.
I mean, now you can't really tell. I mean, like, unless you're looking for that little, this, because I even noticed this when I read the article, because I did a quick search just to see what the result would look like. In the article, they were talking about how they had like a fave icon that had it just said ad. It was AD, but it was in black, and it was a black fave icon, and you can see it on the test that they did, and they explained like some people can't really tell that fave icon is different than any other fave icon, so it was hard to tell. When I did the search result today, I looked at it and they changed it to like a green ad. So now it's like a green square around it, like a semicircle square, like a rectangle-ish square. And it just says ad in between it, and it's green. And that's even really less recognizable. Like, yeah. I mean, people may see it and be like, clearly be able to see that says ad right there versus the other one, because the other one's kind of slick ad. Like, it was like A and D was kind of connected together. It was like, it was too graphically intense. I mean, whereas the other one just says ad straight up.
Yeah, but it's hard on. Like, is this ad?
Yeah, is this an ad, or is this a company called ad or whatever? You know what I mean, like, but it was so. It was this one is so straight to the point, but still, nonetheless, it's easy to ignore. And you really just go for that search result, and you don't have that border at the top or border at the bottom to be like, no, this is the ad section. It just all flows in the same white search result. It just all looks the same. And it's going to confuse people, but nonetheless, that's that money coming in, and it don't matter. Only time it matters is when the government get in there and be like, yeah, y'all tricking us.
It drives commerce, man. It is the in you know, it's some people, this is capitalism. You know what I mean? It comes down to some people don't like capitalism. They say it's an ugly system, but if you ask me, I think it's the most fair out of all the systems. And it just gives the, you know, the small guy an opportunity to be able to come up. You know, I look at, so, you know, a lot of the things I do on the side as far as marketing goes, which I'm working with this tech company trying to do their marketing as well as my own stuff. And it's like, now that you have, it gives people more of an incentive to really jump back into just doing like pure, you know, Google AdWords, like advertising, rather than having to like, cause you know, this is a quick little thing about the AdWords. Like, so when you're doing stuff like the YouTube, whatever the case is, it's still Google. You just have to tie your account to your YouTube channel and stuff like that. And that's kind of like a workaround to, you know, getting past the having to depend on just Google search advertising, right? But now that you know, everything is just, it flows and it has the same like white background like you're talking about. Like, I may actually have a search up right now looking at it. Like, it looks, I'm seeing all of the possibilities of how I can make money.
Yeah, it looks just like any other ad, right? It looks like any other search result, and it's like it's hard to tell what's the difference anymore. It's like I think this is it. I think that's the one I'm looking for. Oh no, that's an ad.
Oh,
too late. It's too late. Already got you.
Right now, cool. Now I'm interested in what they're talking about.
Right. And that's all they're really trying to do is just get that attention. And I mean, this is a good play for them. It's something that they probably had in their had up their sleeve the whole time, because they be doing A/B testing. They probably just were like, yeah, I don't know if we should do this yet. We'll just hold off on this. And now is the time. It's 2020. They're already getting regulated for all this privacy stuff, so they might as well just play a gamble at it, see if it worked for them. And right now, I'm sure it's working. I'm sure they're already seeing millions of dollars improvement.
I mean, the millions, you know, of course they ain't hurting. They, you know, it's nothing big to Google, not yet, but
millions ain't nothing. That's a penny.
I think I seen a little ad that you talking about it, that now they capped at like $1 trillion or something like that. That's their, you know.
I think they just came out with that like this week that they hit the $1 trillion mark. When they have some full on article, I think we might talk about it next week. I think I actually got it in there to talk about next week with the next lineup. But if not, I will talk about it. I will add it on there. The last article that we got is going to be about Google Chrome's cookie banned, or not banned with a D, just banned, B-A-N. and is that good news for Google, or that being good news for Google and for privacy in general? Subtitle is but it's terrible for small advertisers. But like, I mean, that's kind of true. That is kind of the truth. So what they're plotting on doing is that I think they're giving it to 2022, but in 2022, all web browsers, for the most part, all Google browsers anyway, they're going to stop the ability for third-party cookies. Now, third-party cookies is the exact thing that is the point of digital privacy and all these random companies collecting your data. When you go to a website, if you go to CNN.com or you go to like The Verge or something like that, you get cookies from that site. That the cookies come from that site so that they can essentially identify you and be able to give you, you know, more personal or more personalized experience when you come back to that site later on.
Advertise on you based on your data and your activities online.
Yeah. And that's usually the first cookie is a first party cookie. It'll come from CNN or it'll come from TheVerge.com or whatever. But then they also have these advertisement platforms because, you know, all of these news sources for the most part are trying to make money on their website. So they'll partner up with advertisement companies, and the advertisement companies will be another company or a tracking company, somebody that's just trying to see how people work on your website, like that. What do people do on the website? They'll bring in their cookies onto the site as well. They're not, you know, Cookie Monster cookies. It's just a nickname, but they'll add their trackers onto the site as well, and they consider those third party cookies. So you may go to CNN.com, but you know, Google may also be tracking you. Facebook may also be tracking you. The advertisement platform may also be tracking you. And at that point, it becomes a survey company may be tracking you. But at that point, that's when your security becomes compromised. And that's when it becomes an issue, is because you meant to come to CNN.com. Who are these other companies? Like, what the hell do they got to do on anything? Ultimately, they got to do with trying to make some money off of the fact that they got a website. But
cookies is what drives the advertising machine. Like, and when I say advertising machine, it's not just about what you may see based on, you know, a direct search on something. But the way it works is you may go to a just a random website, and because you didn't know about all of these third party companies who are tracking you, you see a banner ad that would lead to, if you click on it and go through buying something or just, you know, interact with the ad, you have third party companies who are still collecting more information from you, profiting from you visiting these sites. And it's not coming from a place where it's not known, you know. It's the advertising machine is something that, you know, for instance, they track you and they can sell your information under the table to another company to mark, you know, to advertise something to you that you had no idea. This is how you have that, that, I guess, how can I describe it? This twilight zone effect of you speaking about something and then suddenly seeing an advertisement on your phone about it because of all of these third party cookies that's tracking all of what you do online. So be it that they're saying that they're going to have a ban on that, like I said in the subtitle, that the smaller advertisers are going to be hit by this, is that it's pretty much going to, like, you're going to see a lot of those random ads of, you know, you having a thought about something that coming up on your phone. A lot of this stuff is going to be going away within the next 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, advertisement in general is going to have to change the strategy of attack. More than likely when it comes to these news sources, because a lot of these news sources rely on those third party cookies because they rely on the advertisement and they rely on the money that they get from it. And if they're not going to be able to do third-party cookies anymore, that means that more than likely they're going to have to start distributing the cookies themselves, meaning that, like I said, if you go to CNN.com, instead of that advertisement coming from another company being pushed onto the site, you know, when you go see the article, you see the advertisement on the right side, the advertisement took like 3 seconds longer to show up because it had to go to some third party. Right. You know what I mean? So more than likely that ad's not going to come from the third party anymore. It's going to have to also come from CNN, which means that CNN is going to more than likely have to get into the advertisement game directly. I mean, they're going to have to be the ones to cut the deals with all the advertisement offerings that are out there. I used to work with a newspaper, and that was kind of the thing. It was kind of the thing that they had an issue with. They really didn't understand how to do digital advertisement at all. And however they figured it out, obviously it's not probably working for them. And with this being the case, they're going to have to re-strategize how they actually offer the advertisements, because initially they were doing something through DoubleClick, which is an extension of Google, but it was essentially not, it wasn't their website. It wasn't the website itself that was given advertisement. It wasn't that they had their marketing team negotiating with these companies and saying, hey, we'll put this advertisement on our site. They kind of just automatically let the algorithms work based on the cookies, based on the trackers, and let the machines figure out what's the best ad to offer you. And if CNN or any other like news source or anything, if they have to pick that up as their business model, that's going to change massively on how they actually operate. They're going to have to essentially build out their marketing division, their advertisement division a little bit larger so that they can deal with in-house advertisement, because they won't be able to go to those third parties anymore.
Yeah, a lot. How this is going to affect business is that, you know, what makes a lot of these like bigger companies effective is that they're able to focus their efforts all on what their product is. But now that they have to, you know, their specialty is, and now that they're going to have to build out that like a marketing, initiative. Then what you're going to see is happening. What you're going to see happening here is that I feel they don't specialize in advertising and marketing. So some people are going to suck at it. You know what I mean? It's going to affect the bottom line, the revenue. And it's going to be interesting how, you know, people still keep their businesses afloat, even the bigger businesses, because now they're going to have to jump into having data scientists on deck to study what the consumer does. You know, rather than just kicking it out to a third party who specializes in that, taking the data back in and formulating the advertisement, or allowing just that third party getting a piece of that, you know, the ad revenue from that third party. So it's a lot. What you see with this is that it's really a business move, and it seems like it's a small thing to the common person, the end user, but to bigger companies and to the smaller business people, this is something that it's going to change a lot of things, man.
They are ecosystem, man. Like Facebook and Google and companies like that, they're companies that are so large that other companies are built on their backs. Yeah, I mean, like advertisement companies exist because they have the ability to leverage Google's technology. I mean, they have the ability to leverage Facebook's technology, and they'll make a whole business model off of being an advertisement platform just to be able to advertise through Google's platform, through Facebook's platform. And if they deny those third-party systems, then, I mean, even the ad agencies got to figure out a whole new way to do that. Essentially, they won't be able to do it at all. They were talking about how there's organizations that are partnering up together. They're creating some type of coalition to do it, but they're going to have to go out there and market to people. Like if you are like a newspaper, if you're like, there aren't newspapers too heavy anymore, but if you're a news site, like you're going to have to figure out what's the new course of action. Like what's the new way we're going to be able to do this without having to change the workflow, because the workflow has to be able to stay the same. And if you know, I'm not really saying too much about the consumer, because the consumer doesn't have to do anything. If anything, this sort of benefits the consumers, because all that tracking and privacy is going to die out. But for any other company, that anybody that their whole business is advertisement, or if they I work for a digital agency, a digital marketing agency, they're going to have to figure out a new strategy. And I already mentioned this. Did I mention this to him? I don't think I mentioned this to him. I'm going to mention this to him on Tuesday. I don't think anybody even there knows about it yet, but Google has given them 2 years, and in 2 years, if they don't figure it out, then that's the end of the company, basically, because they're going to be running around trying to figure it out at the wrong time. Everything's on fire, like that meme where they're like, everything's fine and the whole room on fire. It's basically going to be the case. Like, if you sit there and just be like, yeah, I'm going to just keep doing business as usual, and you ain't read something about this happening, nah, in 2 years, that's on you at that point, because they gave you a 2 year head warning.
You gonna go to that platform and to try to create an ad or something like that, and it's gonna disappear.
You gonna be like, your account is suspended, bro.
Right, yeah. Or it ain't even that. You just gonna try to log in and be like, oh, what? You know, say wrong username and password. No, it ain't. Well, it doesn't exist anymore. That's what it is.
Well, one of the things that they were talking about doing was through this single sign-on system where essentially if you do, because, you know, they're still going to somehow they're going to still have this single sign-on system where, you know, you use this one account and you can sign into all these different sites. You know, right now the advertisement system makes money on people not having to sign into things. I mean, you can just go to a website and you see the site and you get the ad placements and you never had to really sign in. They know your computer. They know your browser. They know your IP. Your IP address. I mean, they know that. They don't need to know who you are. In this case, now they kind of got to know who you are, and you're going to have to create some type of profile with one of these single sign-on providers. Like I said, Gmail does it. Well, Google does it with their Google accounts. Wherever you see, like, sign in with Google, sign in with Facebook, sign in with Twitter. All of them are going, that'll be like the passport that'll get you around. And I guess the advertisements may ultimately follow that. But nonetheless, it's going to take 2 years. So as it progresses, it's going to be fun to see how they change up the industry, and then seeing all the people that don't participate in the change up with it. Yeah, I mean, because it's going to disrupt a lot of things.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of the small guys are going to go out of business. So.
It's not even the small guys; it's the guys who don't pay attention. Yeah, I mean, if they're on, they got a 2 year warning. Yeah, I mean, it's like this January 18th? No, I'm a week behind. No, 19th. It's January 19th. You got 23 months and like some 18 days. Well, 11 days. I mean, so like, you got time. Everybody got time. So my team got time. If they don't figure it out in 2 years, it's not on us. I mean, it's not on me. I know. I told them. I mean, so that's just going to be on them. Like,
the way you can look at it now is, it's generally thought of that advertising marketing is a marathon for company, right? You have campaigns, what they call an evergreen campaign, this forever changing and stuff like that, which is in order to keep the business afloat. But now that the primary, we heavily dependent on the internet for advertising now, and now that basic component that the business depends on is being taken away, you have to sprint now, because after 2 years, you're gonna have to completely change. If you're an advertising company, you have to completely change the whole business model. So this is a big thing.
Change up that whole workflow. It's going to be different, and hopefully some of the functionality they'll keep the same, but it's just not going to be the same as it was. All that it's just not the gold has been taken already. I mean, it's no longer the Wild West. It's California now. I mean, so like, that's, you just gotta work accordingly. But I think that's about it, man. You got anything to say before I wrap this up?
Nah, man. You know, y'all know the deal, man. Like, comment, subscribe. Find us on all the primary podcast platforms: iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Twitch. We everywhere, man. So make sure you follow us, and so you can stay up to date with what we got going on. We got a lot of crazy shit coming your way as far as like interviews, different type of content, things we're gonna be providing to you all to really just keep you in tune with what a lot of these industries are doing within Microsoft, Apple, Google, and just generally in tech. So stay tuned, be a part of the movement, man, and make sure that you don't miss out on anything.
Yeah. Y'all take it easy out there. I think my man said everything that need to be shared. This is Google News Update. Mike, y'all take it easy out there.
Holla. Peace.